Æthelflæd and the Rockstar by Jonathan Olive and ProfessorNativoGratis.com. Chapter 1. The Plan. It was past Davingstock, on the edge of the marshes, when the idea finally took hold. Æthelflæd had got up early to take Heidi for a walk. Although it was July, it was still a bit chilly after the night's downpour. In the last few days, the weather had been changeable. After being overcast and drizzly, bright spells had given way to patchy showers. This morning it was clear, and the warm weather was on its way again. Æthelflæd hadn't slept well. For some days now, she had been feeling stuck. All around her, she saw her friends getting on with their lives while she was wasting her time. But now, as she watched the river flow past, a rough draft of a plan she had had for a long time came together in her mind. By the time she had turned away from the water, she was walking with firmer steps towards Davingstock. "Let's pop in to see Natalia, Heidi," she told her dog, who was running along the river bank. "She might give you something to eat, if you mind your manners." Sure enough, Heidi was eating some leftovers from Natalia's parents' restaurant less than half an hour later. Natalia was one of Æthelflæd's inseparable friends, the daughter of a Brazilian father and Spanish mother who had met in London. They set up a restaurant in Canterbury just after Natalia was born. "I need your help, Nat," Æthelflæd explained. "I'm getting fed up with doing nothing. It's been a year now since we left school. You and Samantha and the rest are all studying, and I feel like I'm being left behind." "But what are you thinking of doing, Ethel? You hate studying. You've always said so." Natalia gave her friend a cup of tea. "I'm no good studying, you know that. It takes me ages to read anything. I wasn't thinking of that. Can you hand me the sugar?" She added 3 teaspoonfuls. "Dad always tells me to focus on what I like and what I'm interested in." "And what's that? Animals?" "Music. I'm going to try to get into the Canterbury School of Performing Arts." "The CSPA? Are you sure, Ethel? How are you going to do that?" "Thanks a lot for the encouragement, Natalia," Æthelflæd exclaimed. "I'll just give up the idea and go back to doing nothing, shall I?" "Don't get all grumpy on me, Ethel. I didn't mean that. You know I'm your biggest fan. You're an amazing singer. You play the piano, the guitar. I know all that. But if you get through the auditions, how on earth would you pay for it? Do you know how much they charge?" Æthelflæd sighed and nodded. "I know. It's almost 2 grand each term. Dad has told me he'd help me, but he can't afford that much. I'm going to earn the money myself, even if it means getting 2 or 3 jobs over the summer." "And you've come to say goodbye until autumn?" "I've come to ask you for a favour. The other day you said your parents were looking for waiting staff over the summer. Can you tell them I'm interested in working for them?" "You've never served tables, have you?" "So I need the experience. Can't be hard, can it?" "It's not as simple as it looks, Ethel. I trust you, but you've got to be quick and you've got to remember 4 or 5 orders at the same time." "Natalia, are you calling me a moron? Everyone around here thinks I'm dumb, but I thought you knew differently." "Keep your hair on, Æthelflæd. I'll ask them for you, and if you're lucky, you'll find out yourself. You should look around for something else, though, because you're not going to get rich waiting on tables. People are stingy with their tips nowadays." "Yeah. I'll have a word with Samantha, too. She might know about something." "What are you up to now?" "I'm going to work in a couple of hours, but I'm meeting up with Ayan first." "Well, I'm taking Heidi back home, and then I'm off to see Samantha. Say hi to Ayan for me. I haven't seen him for ages. And let me know what your parents say." Ayan was Natalia's latest boyfriend, an amateur lifeguard and Davingstock's best footballer. Samantha and Ethelfled like to tease Natalia about the type of Indian, Spanish, Brazilian restaurant they could open together, with picanha masala and chorizo samosas. After dropping Heidi off home and feeding her animals, her three-legged cat Squeaky and Budgie the parrot, Ethelfled set off for Samantha's house. Most people have no clear idea about their purpose in life. In Samantha's case, it was obvious that she had been placed on the earth to get people's backs up. Impossibly beautiful, beautifully rich, her life was strewn with roses and A-grades, surrounded by her nauseatingly perfect family. This type of person was usually enough to make Ethelfled throw up, but it so happened that Samantha was also the perfect friend, so she had to make an exception. Samantha's parents were among the most successful and wealthiest people in Davingstock, and spent their time shuttling between business meetings, cocktail parties, and fundraising events. Despite this, they were not stuck up, or at least not with Ethelfled. She was sure to get lucky in her quest for a job. University had broken up for the summer. Both Samantha and her brother Dean had passed all their exams effortlessly and were looking forward to a long summer. Cruising in the family boat, holidays by Lake Como, weekend shopping trips to Paris, and nights out in London. Ethelfled checked her reflection in the class doors before calling. Would Dean answer? He had gone to stay with some French friends in their villa near Saint-Tropez, and Ethelfled wasn't sure if he had got back yet. The door opened. Ethelfled, Samantha's mum ushered her in. Speak of the devil. Come in. We were talking about you. We're just about to have a cup of tea. Would you like to join us? Thank you, Mrs. Townsend. A tea would go down nicely. You're all here? Samantha and Dean, too? Asked Ethelfled, as casually as she could manage. Mrs. Townsend looked at her keenly, with a half-smile on her lips. Dean came back a couple of hours ago. He's just left his bags and popped out to see Ayan. Ayan was Dean's best friend. Ayan? But I think Natalia's... Ethel, you've come early. Samantha stood up to greet her friend as they walked into the kitchen. I've just woken up now, and I'm in a right state. You should have warned me. It was a lie, of course. Samantha was as gorgeous as ever. You were talking about me. Don't believe what's being said. It wasn't me, I promise. No, they laughed. We thought you might be interested in a little job if you felt like earning a bit of money this summer. That's just what I'm here for. It sounds like we're on the same wavelength. Could I have some sugar with that? She took the cup and saucer. We were in London last night. Joe Kerr invited us to his house with a few other people. He told us he's spending the summer in Davingstock and he needs someone to look after his boy. Joe Kerr? I see his daughters every time I open a mag, but that's the first time I've heard he had a son. Are you really close friends then? Joe Kerr was Davingstock's only A-list world-famous celebrity. Some 30 years before, at the height of his fame, he had purchased and done up an abandoned monastery on Davingstock Hill. Since then, he had spent his time shuttling up and down from London with a series of wives, girlfriends, daughters, film stars and models, keeping the town's gossips' tongues wagging. We've been working with Norman for some years now. Norman Smith's his real name, you know. Yes, you could say we're friends. Don't you remember he was going out with that really young American actress some years ago? For a while it looked like he was going to really settle down. Well, since they split up, she's been taking care of the poor boy out in Beverly Hills, but she started going out with that actor. What's his name? He's really famous. Brad Midas, Samantha interrupted. That's right, and I think Moonzip is getting in the way, so she shipped him off to his dad. The boy's name is Moonzip. Ethelfled sipped her tea. That's right. Poor darling. I think he's a bit of a handful. It's a bit too much for Norman, really. He's getting on a bit now, you know. So he wants to offload the kit onto me. How much is he offering? I can't stand children, and I bet this one's a real brat. Oh, I wouldn't worry about that. Whatever people say about Norman, nobody's ever accused him of being stingy. I'll make a call and let you know what he says, if you're keen on the idea, that is. Samantha's mum picked up the phone and began to dial. Norman? It sounded odd to hear one of the heaviest, hotel-smashing, wildest rock beasts with such an everyday name. Æthelflæd's younger brother Æthelstan was a huge fan of Joe Kerr and his band, the Clown Killers. He spent hours locked away in his bedroom with the family parrot, both screaming and howling along with the noise. Æthelflæd couldn't stand it. She looked down on anyone who listened to music that wasn't soul. But she was outnumbered in her family. Even her father always spoke admiringly of Joe Kerr, although it was for a completely different reason. Every year he made a donation to Davingstock's local cinema, enabling it to stay open, even though it ran at a loss. Are you on for tomorrow morning? Mrs. Townshend had just hung up. To start work, just like that. Steady on. No, he wants you to go up there and have a look at you. You can ask him about the wages and check out Moonzip yourself. That's great, Mrs. Townshend. I'm really grateful, you know. That's exactly what I came here for, just to see if you knew of anything. I never expected this, though. That's not all, Ethel. Samantha was looking at her phone. Natalia's had a word with her parents. You're starting in the restaurant this afternoon. Good for you. When Æthelflæd left Samantha's house, she was spinning through a wheel of emotions. She felt that her dream was one step closer, and yet she wasn't used to seeing the pieces of her life fall into place so simply. It was too easy. In one morning, she had managed to find two jobs. And yet there was a sense of foreboding. Somewhere in the back of her head, she heard the voice of her English teacher waving a copy of Shakespeare's Macbeth. Remember, when the gods want to punish mortals, they give them what they most desire. Æthelflæd smiled because she had her own references. She cleared her throat and began to sing some lines. I look for a job both day and night. I can't find nothing that will suit me right. A little bit of labour I'm not trying to shake, but everything I find seems like too much work. She turned and walked back home.